And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and he had compassion on them. That's how this miracle really started, with Jesus' compassion on that crowd that came to him in that desolate place where he had been seeking some peace and quiet for himself and for the 12 as they reflected on what John the Baptist's death meant. Jesus had compassion. Now, one of the fun things, for me at least, with reading Matthew sort of in serial form over these summer months is how we get the chance to hear echoes from previous readings throughout the weeks. And in this particular case, as we're following Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, we're now about a year out from his triumphal entry. It's around Passover. We're told that by John. They're in this desolate place. And the echo that we hear this morning is contained in that word compassion. For you might remember way back in June, when we started reading Matthew's gospel, jumping into chapter 12, Jesus saw the people. He saw that they were like sheep not having a shepherd. He saw they were like a harvest waiting to be gathered, and he had compassion on them. And at that time, his compassion moved him to send the 12 out as heralds of the kingdom. And now his compassion moves him once again to heal the sick, to teach these people who had come to him. And it was quite a miracle, this feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children as well. He fed them with just 2 fish and 5 loaves. In fact, this was such and is such a momentous and noteworthy miracle that all 4 of the gospel writers record this. Jesus there in the wilderness, miraculously providing bread to those crowds. It was almost as if he was a kind of second Moses. And yet, the bread that he gives is far greater than anything Moses ever gave. But since this is the green season, and we are supposed to be focusing on how we're supposed to grow in life and faith as Jesus gives it to us, rather than dwelling on this miracle itself, this morning what we need to focus on is what we are given in this glorious revelation of Christ. And it turns out that to get what we are given, we have to start at the beginning. Now, Matthew tells us that at this point, Jesus had just gotten the news about John the Baptist being beheaded by Herod. John, you'll remember, was the last and greatest of the prophets. John was the forerunner of Jesus who was preparing the way of the Lord. John, you'll remember, baptized Jesus in the Jordan, inaugurating his public ministry. And that was the time where the heavens tore open and Jesus saw the dove coming down, the Holy Spirit, anointing him as the chosen one. The Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son." John was so integral to everything that Jesus was doing, and now John was gone. Can you imagine how the news of his cruel death hit Jesus? And remember, it wasn't just violence and injustice that had been done, but Jesus saw in John's death a preview of his own. If they did that to John, what would Jesus face? He knew. He knew that he was sent by the Father to come and die. And yet, he did this as a man. You'll remember, right, from your catechisms, he's in the state of humiliation. He's not drawing on his divine power always or fully. And so this news hits him the way that it would hit us. He experiences this as one of us. The only difference being that he didn't have any sin. He didn't draw on his divine strength or knowledge. He looked squarely at what awaited him. And at that moment, he knew that he needed time alone. He needed time alone to go and pray. Time to be comforted by the word. Time to be strengthened by his Father. And you and I, we know of times like that ourselves, right? Times when we just need to turn off all the electronic devices and close the door and sit down by ourselves and collect ourselves and pray and find strength in the word. Get consoled by God. Time where we need to be prepared for what's coming. So Jesus and the 12, they sailed off to this desolate place over on the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee, far away from villages and farms. But the crowds saw them go. And those who had sharp eyes could see the boat out there in the water. They saw where it was heading, and the crowds weren't willing to let Jesus go. They wanted what he had. They needed what he had. And so they followed, and when the boat came to shore and Jesus got out, there was that crowd waiting for him. 5,000 men, plus women and children, coming straight for him. Now, I don't know about you all, but when I'm tired, When I need time by myself, time to collect myself, and then the phone rings, or I hear from downstairs, Dad! Or something else interrupts, I have to confess, right? I'm not always at my best. Kindness and grace are not the first things that move me at times like that. But as that mass of people came to Jesus, rather than anger, rather than frustration, rather than getting back in the boat and sailing off in the opposite direction, Jesus had compassion on them. You may remember this word, right? It literally translates as that his guts were churning on account of them. That is, he saw those people with his eyes. He saw their needs, their brokenness, their sins, the darkness of their ignorance about God, about God's love. He saw their diseases. He saw their needs. And he was moved to pity. He felt their hurts as if they were his own. And so rather than carrying on with his original plan to go off by himself, Jesus stayed there and he taught and he healed all day. And now, look at how his compassion stands in stark contrast to the 12. Now, we don't hear anything about what the 12 were doing during that day, but when the sun began to go toward the west in the end of the day, the 12 spoke up. Jesus, make these people go away so they can go find food for themselves and get something to eat. Now, notice the 12 didn't ask Jesus, is there anything we can do to help, Lord? Where do you want us to get some food for them, Lord? The 12 didn't take the people's needs to heart. Rather than caring for them, the 12 wanted the people to go take care of themselves. Jesus had compassion. The 12 didn't. And Jesus wasn't going to let that go by. He said to them, you, give them something to eat. Now, can you imagine their stunned disbelief, right? What? Give them food? All these folks, are you kidding me, Lord? Where are we going to get enough food for this many? All we have are 5 loaves and a couple of fish. Looking at their resources, looking at what they had of their own to offer, the 12 could only see their lack of resources, how little they had for themselves, much less for anyone else. And that, by the way, is why I think we often close our hearts to compassion. We see our lack, we see our weakness, we see our inadequacy to take care of even our own basic needs. And so we think we just don't have anything to offer anyone else. And I think this has been really apparent during the time of this COVID pandemic, right? I mean, what's the first thing that happened when this began back in March? People started hoarding. Right? I have to keep stuff for myself because if I don't have everything I need, I might run out. I don't care what you have or don't have. And then after the hoarding came the fear, where no one, or at least only a few people, right, medical workers, folks out in essential businesses, but besides them, no one went out to help anyone. Everyone feared that they didn't have the time, the energy, the health, the money to risk getting sick. And now, right, we're into the debates about whether or not to open schools or how open businesses should be or whether or not you should be wearing masks. And if you listen to all the arguments, all the debates, all the anxiety going on out there, what's the note that you hear over and over and over again? Me, me, me. Now, sometimes there's a little concern for others, right? When people are accusing you of not caring about others when you don't do what they do. But everyone's wrapped up in their inadequacy and their fear and their anger. But notice here, that Jesus did not let the 12's inadequacy or fear stop him from serving those people. And so Jesus had the people sit down and he gave thanks and he broke the bread and he blessed it and he started handing out the pieces of the bread and the fish to the 12 so they could go take and give it to the people. And again, I want you to stop right there and sort of imagine the scene in your mind's eye. Jesus giving thanks, breaking the bread, handing it out. Feels oddly familiar, right? In fact, when John tells the account of this, he uses it to launch off into the next day when Jesus gives the bread of life discourse. And John says, look, you know, it's not just the bread that you can eat that Jesus is giving. Jesus is giving his body. Jesus is giving his blood as true food and true drink for the life of the world. So that you, by eating and drinking, can have eternal life. At any rate, the loaves that we think were being used weren't all that large, nor were the fish. And the 12, they knew how to count. So you can imagine, you know, Peter comes and gets a piece, and then he trots off, and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thaddeus and all the rest, and they go out and they give their pieces away, and they look back to Jesus. And, of course, what they're expecting to see after they've handed everything out is that Jesus has nothing more to give. And yet when they look back, what does Jesus have? He got more to give. And so they come back and get more and hand that out. And they come back and get more and hand that out. And they come back and get more and hand that out over and over and over again. Until the people, all those men, all those women, all those children had eaten, and not just eaten enough, they'd eaten until they're full. There were seconds, there were thirds, there were fourths, as much as anyone wanted. No matter how much they wanted, Jesus always had more to give. And finally, when no one wanted any more, it was over. And then Jesus was empty, and he had the 12 gather up the scraps, the leftovers. And it turns out there were 12 baskets full, one for each of the apostles. They ended up with more than they had started out with. Jesus took care of them as well as the crowds. And so what then do we get out of all of this? Well, first, right, the obvious thing that hits you over the head is that Jesus gives more than enough. He provided for those people not just enough to get by. He gave them enough and then some. He sustained them for their journey home, just like God had once provided the manna in the wilderness to sustain Israel and its journey to the promised land. Jesus sustains us on our journey through this life, not by giving us just enough to get by on, but by giving us more than enough. He gives us more than enough of faith and hope and love and grace and mercy, and he provides for us in tangible ways as well. And remember what you were taught in the catechism, right? I believe God made me and all creatures, that he's also given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. Jesus provides more than enough because you and I, we can't do it on our own. We can't provide for ourselves everything that we need. And because Jesus provides, you and I, we don't have to fear running out. Fear is what often closes us off to the deeds of others. We close our eyes, we close our hearts because we're afraid that if we give from our meager resources of time and money and food and strength and stability and caring and so on, then we'll be caught short in our time of need. But Jesus, the compassionate Jesus, the Jesus who gives more than enough, he brings such fear to an end. Like the 12, you and I need to learn to go to Jesus to receive from him. And as he provides and gives to us, we can share. We can hand on what he gives us in the confidence that our abundance or poverty isn't the issue. His graciousness is. He'll keep giving us as long as there is need. He will sustain and uphold us as long as our service is needed for others. Like the 12 in our reading, we simply hand on to others what we've received of Christ. We hand on his love, his grace. We even hand on his life and the body and blood that joins us to his own life, death, and resurrection. We hand on his mercy and peace to others. And then we go back to him week after week after week in order to receive more. And we keep receiving from him so that we can keep handing out to others. Which means that in Christ we can have compassion for others. We can see and feel their needs as our own and meet those needs as we have the time and the ability given us in Christ. We start with that closest circle to us, our family, and then maybe move on to our friends, co-workers, neighbors, strangers. Finally, we even get to sharing this with enemies. Christ gives us the love and the grace to hand on to them. And it turns out that when Christ opens our eyes and opens our hearts to compassion, we don't have to look very far to find those whom we can help and love. We do well to remember that Jesus feeding the 5,000 was not just a one-time event. And I'm not here referring to when he later feeds the 4,000. No, this miracle of feeding people with wondrous bread, it happens all the time. I dare say every day across the globe, thousands of people are receiving miraculous bread from Jesus. It's handed on to them by the successors of the apostles. That is, they receive the body, blood, and bread, wine of Holy Communion. They are fed forgiveness and given life so that they too can go and share the grace that they have received. And that's what you and I receive at this altar. Jesus miraculously feeds us here. With the bread that is his body and the wine that is his blood, he feeds us forgiveness and life and salvation because he gave his life to wash away sin and he is risen to bring immortality to light. So let us receive, my friends, and share in this wondrous bread, and being fed by Christ, let us go forth to share his grace and peace and mercy with the world out there, not relying on our own strength or resources, but ever and always coming to Christ to receive all that we need and to receive what he gives us so that we can hand it on to others. Even so, amen. Now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.